This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, last segment of the day in this segment, which I am very much looking forward to because it's going to be with Brian Kenny. Ben and Woods brought to you by your San Diego BMW centers. Through November 2nd, lease a 2020 BMW 330i sedan for $399 a month for 36 months with $4,124 due at signing. Contact a San Diego County BMW center today for details or visit sdcountybmw.com. And we'll talk to the MLB Network host, Woodsy, right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan with Kelly Danick. Maybe an off day at the World Series for players, but there's no real off days for the media. So
no,
I really appreciate this guy giving us a little time this morning, joining us on our SDCCU fan hotline, the host of MLB Network's MLB Now. You can watch him throughout the World Series, 1 p.m. Pacific. Brian Kenny is with us. Why'd you write Brian Kelly on there? You just messed me up there.
Head coach of the Notre Dame Fighting
Not
Irish.
Not the Notre Dame head coach. We've got Brian
right
Kenny
there,
with us
Brian
here.
Kenny.
It's right here. Brian, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, that guy has messed up a lot of intros on me.
I can imagine that. Well, actually, we're both envious because we're a very baseball-centric show here, but we can't talk baseball every hour of the day. We got to mix in some of the other sports, even though we probably would love to focus on it. But you really get to like 100% baseball all the time, Brian. Is that for you, like growing up, is that something that you pictured like that would be perfect for you?
Oh, yeah. I didn't envision it. That was beyond what I thought was possible. So it really is a dream come true. When I was a kid, I was always poring over the baseball books and writing my little baseball notes down and playing baseball and all that. So, yeah, to be able to focus, that's the luxury of being at MLB Network, is to be able to focus on baseball and really get into it. And in the World Series, I wrote two essays late last night after the game because, you know, we really dig deep into the strategy and the roster utilization and the moves that are made. And this series, I think, I don't know, more than most, is really just ripe for that, you know, between these two teams that are so versatile.
Yeah, it's a really great point. I would love to read what you wrote because it is one of the more fascinating matchups in that, you know, one team spends a lot of money, but they don't go out and get a ton of I mean, obviously they got Mookie Betts. It's a huge free agent. Or they traded for him, but they re-signed him. But then the Rays, the way that they do it, squeezing every ounce of everything they can find. It's an interesting dichotomy between the two teams, but the strategy remains the same. You got to go to your strengths. So far, both games, how would you kind of grade how the managers have done?
Well, look, I think they're both very good. I know Dave Roberts has gotten a lot of criticism over the last few years in the World Series, but I think he's very good and very attuned. I think he made some He's very good, and there's no perfect way of doing this. Kevin Cash in Game 1 was really puzzled. And Cash, you know, if you're ranking them, there's no question. But in Game 1, I guess he was holding off his A squad, because if you told me that a team in the playoffs, not just the World Series, but a team in the playoffs, had allowed their pitcher to go 112 pitches and give up 6 earned runs, a starting pitcher, you told me, all right, now name the playoff team that did that, I would have picked the Rays last. Like, there would have, of all the 16 teams that would have gotten, I would have named every single team before I got to Kevin Cash and the Rays. So I think that game got away from him. Also, to defend him a little bit, he probably was saving his A squad a bit. So I was puzzled in Game 1. Last night, he executed things perfectly. You know, Blake Snell got into a bit of trouble. He brought in, oh, who did he bring in?
Anderson, yeah.
Yeah, brought in Nick Anderson right away. Then when he had the lefty matchup, now he didn't do a lefty matchup against Max Muncy in the eighth inning. He waited for Bellinger. Then he brought in Aaron Loop, like his short-arming left-hander. So he has specific matchups that he wants, that he waits for. I'm not saying it's like each individual guy, but I think as it was presenting itself, it was like, okay, we have every arm slot and release point imaginable. They lead the league in that. They have a wide variety of arm slots and heights and repertoires, and he waits for certain matchups to reveal themselves, and then he pushes that button. And even at the end, he said at the end of the game, Loop is cruising through the ninth inning. He's got two outs. But now in comes, who is it, the pinch hitter, came up right-hand. Oh, Chris Taylor, I'm sorry. Chris Taylor came up, right-hand hitter. Now, maybe right. Taylor is kind of an even splits guy. It's not like you need a right-hander to victimize him, but he just liked the matchup. He probably has specific data on it. Maybe they've studied it, or maybe they thought, you know what, we've gotten enough out of Loop. We're going to get Diego Castillo for one out and finish the game. So, Cash gets an A+. I mean, everything worked, but you can't judge it on the result. He made the perfect moves throughout that game.
Yeah, I thought that move there in particular, because you cannot let Mookie Betts come up to tie that game. You just cannot let Chris Taylor on base. And Aaron Loop was probably a bad matchup, and they knew that going forward. You know, they've been talking about, and we've all had to deal with it, us in sports radio, the new rule changes and the three batter minimum rule. Now that's changed so much, in my opinion, for guys like Kevin Cash, guys like Dave Roberts, all those managers having to deal with that. I personally hate it myself. I know there's strategy involved and it makes the game a little more tenuous, but was curious to get your thoughts on that three batter minimum rule for relievers.
Well, I'll say this. I really disliked it. The whole idea of it to limit strategy for managers, roster utilization, because that's what I'm really into, and the intellectual part of the game and the strategy of the generals, you know, maneuvering things out there. So I was really against it. I have to say, during the regular season, it didn't matter that much. I had to admit, not that it's like, it's not cleaning up the game and making the game shorter. I don't know what the real yield is there, but it didn't matter that much. And because you can use a guy to end an inning, and that rule doesn't count against him, it's kind of an easy out. Managers didn't have a problem. Now, you're right. In the playoffs, suddenly it matters. And I'm glad that you don't like it. I don't like it either. It's not like it's the end of the world. It's not, oh, what are they doing? It's not like banning the shift. That's true craziness and silliness. Yeah. And un-American, by the way. So I don't do that nonsense. So, yeah, it is. It's protectionism. You're like, let's protect these sluggers from extinction. No, let them evolve. Let guys, and we've seen that. We've seen Will Smith of the Dodgers. We've seen George Springer of the Astros smack the ball the other way.
We're getting a lesson in free market economics from Brian Kenny right now.
Exactly. Let things play out. And maybe we'll get a few more 5'10" guys who can hit singles around the field, which is, I think, what we want, right?
I mean, it's fun. Like Manuel Margot and his hit yesterday where he beats the shift. I mean, it ended up being a critical moment in that game. It brought up Joey Wendell. You get the 2-run double. It was a game-changing play right there. If you can beat the shift, it is so important. We're talking to MLB Network's Brian Kenny here on Ben and Woods. I didn't intend this to be an entire interview about pitching usage, but it's so fascinating now because, you know, the Dodgers start Tony Gonsolin. No one even blinks an eye when he comes out in the second inning. It was pretty much expected that they were going with a bullpen day. The Dodgers, the big money Dodgers, are even doing bullpen days. We saw the Padres had to go bullpen days pretty much every day of the postseason as long as they were alive. The Rays do it throughout the season. Are we going to see this, you think, in the future with every team that, you know, three-man rotations might become the norm and bullpen days are going to be we're going to see a couple of them every week?
Oh, no question. I mean, I wrote in my book, which was, it's now 4 years ago, 5 years ago, that unless they change the rules, this is the best way to pitch. It's better to sprint. You can run faster than you can when you're running a mile. So you're going to occasionally have pitchers that you can develop like Blake Snell. You'll have a Charlie Morton or you'll have a Justin Verlander, but you've got a lot more Pete Fairbanks. You know, there's a lot more of those guys out there. So you utilize these guys for short bursts. Bullpen ERA until this year was always lower than starter ERA, and then you reach an equilibrium. And what you should do is, and this is like part of the whole sabermetric era, it really is an age of enlightenment. What I say now, and I think people take it for granted, But my producers kid with me now and then. They say, you must be going out of your mind watching these games with bullpen games on left and right and, like, all these different crazy things, tandem starts, openers, initial out-getters. Like, they message me and they say, wow, you must go crazy watching this. And I say, I love it because people just have an open mind. And if you recall, in baseball, that was not the case. For decades, it was, we do it this way because we do it this way and we're baseball men and shut up. Blah, 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 blah. And they just did it that way. And you're like, wait, you have your best pitcher in the bullpen. Why don't you use him now? It's the seventh inning. The bases are loaded. You're up two. This is the only way they can beat you. Where is he? And it was like, oh, you can't do that, blah, 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 blah. And I always pointed out, no, Sparky Lyle did that in the 70s. Billy Martin used him that way. Jim Constanti was used that way in 1950 for the Phillies to win a pennant. He was the MVP that year. You can do it this way. In our lifetime, this has happened. And yet baseball thought had just calcified through like the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And now we're free to try and do anything. And if that means a guy goes eight innings, guy goes eight innings, of course. But let's try to use the personnel the best possible way. And managers are forced to embrace this now. They openly get it. And it's a great way to watch baseball because all these managers are willing to try different things.
We are talking to the great Brian Kenny from MLB Network here on Ben and Woods. And Brian, in your career, you've done it all. You've done TV, radio, everything you can do. I got to imagine, though, when you got the gig, when they called you and said, hey, how would you like to be the master of ceremonies at the Baseball Hall of Fame? That had to be a life changer for you. And, obviously you missed it this year. We all did. And just how has that been for you in this short time that you've gotten a chance to do that?
Oh, no. I mean, you're absolutely right. I was going to Cooperstown as a kid. You know, my father was a New York City cop. He was a detective in the city. Immigrated from Ireland, and his way of getting me, you know, to be an American, right? And we're going to be Americans. We're going to play baseball in the backyard, and we're going to listen to games all the time. And he would even drive me up to Cooperstown. We take family camping trips and go up to Cooperstown. And so I loved going to the Hall of Fame my whole life. When I worked in local TV, I worked at a station called WTZA, right? A small station in upstate New York, and I would go there a year. And then I would go on induction week. I've been going there since the 80s. My wife and I, when we got married, we'd go on little getaways up there, go on weekends. So we went a ton. And so when I was able to host the ceremonies from the TV side, first at ESPN, then MLB Network, it's a dream come true to be that guy. So to be up on the stage, you know, and emceeing it, you're right. It just, it's mind-blowing. It, you know, I'm honored to be the person that was asked to do it. And I take the responsibility very seriously. And to be able to be back there with the Hall of Famers and chat with them. And, you know, like Mike Piazza says to me the first time I do it, he goes, have you done this before? And I said, no, not from the stage. And he says, you're nervous? I said, you know, a little bit. And he says, the cream will rise, man. The cream will rise.
I
just laughed. I was like, wow, Mike Piazza's giving me a pep talk. This is great. You know, Brooks Robinson saying, you're going to be fine, Brian. And, you know, it's just the best. To be back there with those guys and come out and give them the proper introduction is, right, it's a highlight of my life.
Before you go, Brian, I have to ask, since we're the Padres flagship station and we talk tons of Padres baseball, your just kind of thoughts on the breakout season for the Padres and what you are now expecting moving forward from our franchise here?
Well, it's very exciting. I mean, that's an exciting team, top to bottom. I think they only get better from here. They're obviously very young. Fernando Tatis, I said he might not be the best player in baseball like right now, but he's right there. You have these shortstops slugging, you know, 580, 600, who's a top five base runner, who's now a plus fielder as well, made those adjustments. At his age, it's mind-blowing. And there's a bunch of other young players who've come up who have, you know, really like stepped up and have become like regulars and established themselves. I think Paddock will right the ship in the rotation. It's really an exciting time. I didn't know when it was going to be turning around, but this was the year. And those games, like in the regular season with the Dodgers, I thought were thrilling. You could see, like, you know, this was a young up-and-comer. It was a welterweight coming up against, like, a heavyweight. But you could see that welterweight was on his way.
Brian, we really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
That was awesome.
Enjoy the rest of your coverage here of the World Series. Good luck, and we know the cream will rise, so no worries about you, Brian. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. I enjoyed it.
All right, Brian Kenny, and you can watch MLB Now throughout the World Series, 1 p.m. Pacific. You're joining us on our SDCCU fan hotline, SDCCU online, and mobile banking. Let's do your banking from your smartphone. Message and data rates may apply. For details, visit SDCCU.com. It's such a simple point that he makes so eloquently, Woods, about the closer and how, I mean, here in San Diego, we've been as guilty as anyone. You know, Trevor Hoffman, got to be the ninth inning. And, you know, after that, Kirby Yates, Heath Bell, all the other closers that we have. We love to see him rack up those saves and enter the history books and close out the games and hear the bells and the celebration at the end. But doesn't it, if that is truly your best relief pitcher, as it should be, the closer, doesn't it make more sense if there's a more important situation in the game than up three with nobody on base to start the ninth inning? But there's a situation where, hey, you're up one and the bases are loaded and there's two outs in the seventh. Don't you want your best guy in that scenario as opposed to holding him for later when you may be down four at that point because you gave up a grand slam?
Yeah, you do. And it is weird, though, the mentality of a closer in a non-save situation. It's a different kind of save, though. You literally, at that point, you save the game. You could possibly save the game. When it backfires is if he comes in and doesn't get the job done. Well, then you're really screwed. You know what I'm saying? And, like, I personally, I love the idea of having a really good guy in the seventh, a really good guy in the eighth, and a really good guy in the ninth. And maybe those guys are interchangeable based on matchups. I'm okay with that. And I think we saw a little bit of that. Pomerantz was able to close when Kirby went down. Then Rosenthal came in. Pomerantz moved to a different role, but could still close if he needed.
Pagan was a closer last year for the Rays.
Exactly. And what I love is that Swiss Army knife. Hey, man, I may go to you in the sixth. I may go to you in the eighth. You may be closing the game today. I think that's the way that baseball should be done.
You know, Brian said that he thinks that Chris Paddock is going to right the ship next season. But also, when you hear him talk about, you know, the sprinter's mentality of a bullpen guy, does it make more sense maybe for Chris Paddock to be a guy who pitches two or three times of the week and goes just, you know, a couple of innings at a time rather than once a week going six innings?
If he gets to six innings, and this year was, you know, that was kind
that
of
rarely
a problem.
Happened,
right?
But you know, maybe change that mentality and go, hey, we want you go throwing 105%, and we only need you to get 5 to 7 outs, and then that's going to be it for you, and then you're going to pitch again in 3 days, and we're going to do that again. If you're doing bullpen days, you might need to convert a couple of starters into those type of roles.
Well, and I honestly think that baseball was the way it was so that the manager wouldn't go crazy overthinking things. Honestly, I think that's why you have the, well, we got a five. Who decided on an arbitrary five-man rotation, right? Why not do a six-man rotation? Give everybody a little extra rest. If you've got bullets in the gun, and it seems that the Padres do, Benny, and the minor leagues, all these guys coming up, hell, you may have six guys that can go out there and start on, have a nice six-man rotation.
If bullpen days, though, are good enough for the playoffs for pretty much every team, obviously the Dodgers, the Rays, and the Padres, why aren't you doing more of them in the regular season?
It just seems with the pods, we have not seen that success. It just hasn't translated in my... Maybe it's it. I'm thinking this. I don't have the research in front of me.
It didn't work for the Dodgers yesterday either.
Yeah, it didn't. It just... It makes you... Kind of skeeves you out when it doesn't work.
All right, that's it for a Thursday. Woods, you think it's been a long week. You've finally gotten there. Tomorrow's going to be Friday. We will wrap it all up. Look ahead to Game 3 of the World Series and much more. Thanks to Paul Reindl. For Woodsy, I'm Ben. Stay tuned to more. Jim Rome Show is coming up next. It's Ben and Woods, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.